Slaves to righteousness. Today's text comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Please rise for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 6. Beginning at verse 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Again, the text comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23. This is the Word of God. May everyone take account. Beginning at verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. Please be seated. Now, last week, I preached from Romans chapter 6. Verses 1 through 14. The title of this message was Dead to Sin, Alive to God. I showed that in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, describes a few key aspects of the conversion experience of every Christian, or what should be of every Christian. Because the Lord Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to us. Paul spoke these things. He wants for us to know how we've been blessed by God, by the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you remember back in the books, the Gospels, it was told of Jesus. It was told about Jesus that he told his apostles that he must ascend on high. He must ascend on high. That is, he must return to God the Father. Why was it important for him to return to God the Father? Well, his response was in order that he may send the Holy Spirit. See, we must understand that the Holy Spirit is necessary. It is needed. It is most needed for our sanctification in this life as we know it. What do I mean by in this life as we know it? Well, we are in the last days. That is for sure. When I mean the last days, that means that we are waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are, as it were, pilgrims. That is, we're just passing through. We're passing through and we're looking forward. We're looking forward to what? To the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is God's will that the Lord, that the Lord Jesus return once again to this life as we know it. But this time, the next time that he returns, it will be to judge. To judge all living and dead as well. And on that day, when he returns, we will all know that Jesus is Lord. That is, that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There's none above him. And that all authority, both in heaven and on earth, has been given unto him by God the Father. Amen? So it's important to understand that in this life, as we wait, as if we were pilgrims only passing through, we're just passing through. We're not here to stay. As my grandfather would say, God bless his soul, as he rests in peace. He would always say, whenever you come to visit, I didn't come to stay. But to us, that was prophetic, because when he finally passed on, that was the one thing we definitely remember. And that is the one thing that we encourage each other with, at least amongst my relatives. We encourage each other with the very fact that we didn't come to stay, that we're only here temporarily. And so, but while we're here, we need to learn, we want to learn how to live, how to cope, how to be a blessing unto God. And as we remember, I hope we all remember from our catechism, the chief end of man is to what? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Amen?
Amen.
So, in order to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, we need power. We need power that can only come from God. Now, how do we get this power? And where does this power come from? It's some of the things that I'll be touching on as we engage in this powerful message. Slaves to righteousness. Now, I would like to lay before you that in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, describes Christians as slaves of righteousness. Why does he describe them as slaves of righteousness? Well, it is my belief he describes them as slaves of righteousness because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus. Because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, Paul describes us as slaves to righteousness. This comes from what I believe, from what I've read thus far. This comes from Paul's thought about, at one time, we were slaves to sin. At one time, we were slaves to sin. Now, Paul basically is using words that were very common back in that day. Slaves, righteousness, sin. Those were words that was commonly used back in those days. Slave is a translation of the Greek word doulos. And righteousness, we're talking about the dikaios. That's a Greek translation of dikaios. And so these were words that was commonly used back then, and they knew what Paul was talking about. But we don't use those words that often in these days. When we think of slaves, we often, you know, we get instantly, especially for us in the black community, we instantly think of slaves back when it was a time in America. And I have to admit, I'm not far removed from that generation in my own family. Maybe I think about maybe two generations. So that means my great, 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 possibly. No, that's two, that's three. So, but maybe my great, great grandparents were slaves. That is, they were owned by someone else. That's something we don't think about in these days because we don't have to deal with slavery. We're not actually owned or think of ourselves as being owned by someone, being owned in the fashion of and thought of as property. Can you imagine that? Being thought of as just simply property of someone, being owned by someone and thought of simply as property, as belonging to someone. And so just as a car or a house, you belong to that individual, and that you technically have no rights of your own, but only those rights which are given by your owner. Imagine that. Well, that's how this word is being used. It's being used to describe an individual that is owned by someone, and that this individual owes his all, his life, to someone else, and that that person who owns them has the authority over that person, including not only life, but also death, to determine death as well. So just think about that a little bit. I don't want to get into much detail of that right now, but we want to think about, first of all, how I'm going to lay this out before you. Well, I plan to lay all this out before you as far as supporting message, and that is that because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, we desire to be holy. That's point number one. Point number one, because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, we desire to be holy. Point number two, because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, as it were, we were slaves to righteousness. We rely on God the Father. Because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, we obey the Lord Jesus. Now, let's deal with point number one. Because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, as I said earlier, we desire to be holy. Now, how are we going to look at this? Let's look at the letter of Paul. Remember, this is a letter that we're reading from. It was written by Paul, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Remember, he was a chosen messenger of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that he was inspired. He was an inspired individual in many ways, especially inspired writer of this letter. And that's why we must look at this letter as authoritative, meaning that it has authority from God, and that Paul wrote as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so the message that we get from this, we want to believe and trust that this is a message from God. Now, being that it's a message from God, that means what? That means we need to take it seriously, right? We want to take it seriously. We want to take it as if it were a message personally addressed to us. And so, being that it's personally addressed to us, we want to understand, first of all, what it means. And then once we understand what it means, we want to apply it in our lives. We don't want to be just hearers of God's word, but we want to be what? Doers of God's word. And so we do this because, again, this message is from God, we believe. Now, also, according to scholarly work, this book is a book of the New Testament. So, being that it is the book of the New Testament, we also want to think in New Testament, sort of, we want to have a New Testament framework on how we view this message. And that is, we want to view this message as a promise from God. God is a God of what I like to describe as a God of covenants. That is, God when he interacts with us and how he has interacted with us throughout what I like to describe again as redemptive history, that is being brought back from slavery to sin, right? See, now I'm starting to talk about terms again that describes and gives us an overview of how God operates and how God functions. He functions by promises. And it's out of his love for his people. His love for the Son of God. Amen? So, now, being that it is a promise of God, this is a promise of God, this is of grace. Meaning that, listen. What we receive from God is not because of something naturally in us. It's not because of something we've done, meaning that we can't earn it. It's a gift. Now, being that it's a gift from God, we want to cherish this. We want to cherish this message. We want to cherish what God has to offer. It would be the same as if you won the lottery. Let's just say you won $1 million. How would you receive that news of winning $1 million? Think about it. How would you receive it? Well, first of all, you probably receive it with amazement, right? You'd be like, say that again. I won what? $1 million? Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Because you know why? You're saying, oh, my, because things start coming to your mind about all the things that you can do with that $1 million, right? And all the things you want to, all the people you want to tell about winning that $1 million. Don't you want to tell somebody, right? And not only that, you'll want to spend it, right? Listen, you're not going to refuse it. You're not going to reject it, are you? It's the same way with the gift of God. It's the same way. It should be the same way. Listen, according to the Bible, all that belongs to our Lord Jesus belongs to us. That is those who believe. And guess what? All means all. Not some, not a bit, but all belongs to us. So when you think about it, we are truly rich in the most realest sense. We are truly rich. We have an abundance. Because all belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What I mean by all, this earth, this planet as we know it, it belongs to Jesus. Did you know that? Did you know that everything that you see, everything that you're able to feel, touch, smell, it all belongs to him. And so because it belongs to him, guess what? It belongs to us too. And that one day, again, when he returns, remember, we're what? We're pilgrims only passing through, waiting for the return of our Lord. On that day when he returns, it will all be handed over to us. And guess what? According to the Bible, we shall rule with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We shall rule. And so that's why, listen, in this life as we know it right now, basically what we're doing, we're exercising, say exercising.
Exercising.
We're exercising our gifts from God. So whatever you have in this life, how you use it should correspond with the fact that you are co-inheritors of the King, meaning that what belongs to the King belongs to you as well. And so, just like Jesus, guess what? When Jesus came, when he came in the flesh, he, even then, he knew that all of this belonged to him. And guess what? If he wanted to, he could have came and said, you know what? Since this all belongs to me, I'm going to use it in a way that I want to use it. Probably similar to the way that we probably would want to use it, right? He could have, right? He could say, you know what? He could have, like, say, for example, we're sitting right here right now, right? We could say, you know, this is my house, right? This is our house. Well, Jesus could walk in and say, no, it's really my house. I created you, and you created this house, and this means that it belongs to me, because you belong to me, the Father, God, the Creator, right? Has given it to me. But you know what? Jesus didn't do that. What did he do? He came to do what? The Father's will, right? And the Father's will was what? That he must what? Live, right? According to his law, perfectly. He must obey all his laws perfectly. And not only that, eventually he must die. Die for the sins. For our sins. Amen? And so, listen. I share that with you. Again, that's how we want to start thinking. We want to start thinking in terms of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God operates based upon a promise to the Son. He had promised the Son that he would give him a people that would be his own. A people that would belong to him. A people that would serve him, that would be committed unto him by the power of the Holy Spirit. They would be completely renewed and transformed and enabled. Listen, enabled. What do I mean by enabled? I mean be that. What I mean by that mean being formed in a way that they'll be able to respond to God Almighty in the same way that he was able to respond. And that is to be committed to God the Father. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So, again, this is written in the New Testament. And so that means that this is written to New Testament believers. We are New Testament believers. Did you know that? You're a New Testament believer. You're not the Old Testament believers. The Old Testament believers were who? Israel. Right? Israel. Israel. The descendants of Israel, beginning with Israel and all his descendants, they were the Old Testament believers. And they were given the law, and they were required to obey the law in its fullness, to its fullness. And it was basically do this and live, do this and die. So, but we, being New Testament believers, we are up under the grace of God. And that's what Paul talks about. Being up under the grace. It's a gift from God. Out of his love for the Son. Out of his love for the people that he had promised that he would give to the Son. Amen? Now, also we need to understand that Paul wrote this from the Greek city of Corinth. Corinth. Say Corinth. Corinth was a Greek city that he wrote this from. Now, Corinth back in the 19th century was completely destroyed by an earthquake. But it was an actual city. And so this is a testimony to Paul, a testimony of Paul that Paul was a real man. He was a real person. And he wrote from Corinth. Now, he wrote to the people in Rome, but he never did get a chance to visit Rome. This is probably one of the few places that I can think of right now that Paul never really actually visited the church. He didn't found the church like he did all the rest of the churches, the letters that the churches that we see written, like, say, the letters to Thessalonica and so forth. OK. You know, he didn't get a chance to actually go to Rome and found this church. So these were people who were already there. These were New Testament believers who were already there, and Paul was writing to them. Now, this letter, believe it or not, listen, believe it or not, this letter is probably one of the first letters of the New Testament. You know, you think that the letters are the way they're written in the order, a certain order, that means they probably was written, you know, as far as the year and date, it was probably written in order, but it wasn't. It's not given to us in order. This was written in 58 AD. Now, why I'm sharing all this with you, it's important to know this stuff, because as you're reading, you can get a sort of a feel for what Paul was writing and what he was writing about and why he was writing and so forth. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. OK. Now that we have given a little bit of background, I informed you about a little bit of the background of this letter. I'm just going to real quickly jump back a little bit. And remember when I told you that Paul describes Christians as slaves of righteousness? Now, what is Paul? Why does he describe us as slaves of righteousness? I already stated, and that's because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus. And he wants us to know this, and he wants us to know how to operate in our new transformation. Right? When we think of transformers, right? Transformers. Everybody here, I think, saw the movie Transformers, right? That's a pretty good movie. I like that movie. I mean, it's jam-packed with action, and it has an example of who we are in Christ Jesus. See, we've been transformed. That is, we have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the same way that Transformers, they transform from, I think it's from auto cars, certain types of cars, and to robots. We've been transformed from sinners to sinners under death, right? Condemned sinners to saved sinners. That is, we have been transformed into individuals that are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ Jesus alone. And so that's what I mean by being transformed. We've been changed. We're new creations. Say new creations. New creations in Christ Jesus. And because we're new creations in Christ Jesus, then we are no longer what we used to be. The old person has passed away, and the new person has come to life. Amen? Slaves, I already talked a little bit about slaves. And so here we're talking about, again, being owned by someone else. And in this case, we're owned by our Lord Jesus. That's who we belong to. So our only comfort in life and death is that we're not our own, but we belong to our faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. And so because we belong to Him, guess what? We're in good hands, right? We're in good hands. This used to be a commercial. I forget the name of that commercial. It used to be a commercial that, let's pray. Lord God, Father in heaven, bless you once again for your word. We thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.